Dante was one of the first Navy SEALs. There was SEAL Team 1, SEAL Team 2. And through that, he just traveled the world. So just bits and pieces he collected throughout his travels, just things that he likes, and he smashed them all together into a restaurant called Dante's Down the Hatch. And you have jazz, fondue, a pirate ship, and live crocodiles. It was a place that was unlike the normal restaurant. He really wanted people to take their time. So he chose fondue, communal pot, communal eating, and it's just the perfect place for, you know, a long evening. That's the whole evening, dinner at Dante's. I walked into Dante's when I was 19 years old. So I was going to the Art Institute of Atlanta with my buddy Colton, and he had a bright idea to go get a job there. So we walked in, I was totally blown away, and because we used to sit and write, and you know, we'd always look for places that were inspiring, and this was it. Now we get to work at a place like this. And so we would go in 2 hours early before our shift started and sit on the ship and just write for a couple hours with a pot of coffee. Just the amount of history, you know, with the antiques and there's an old barbershop from like the 30s downstairs. So that was my favorite spot. All the pomades in the window and whatnot, you know. So there was a different world in every nook and cranny. There are like some like 32 different levels.
What was the moment when you're like, I'm a painter, so obviously now I'm going to make a documentary?
Well, I was working there for 13 years, you know, off and on. So it was a large part of my life, huge chunk. And there was some talk about Dante's closing because of tax reasons, you know, and the land being widely sought after. And so that, you know, brought customers asking questions about, you know, is Dante's going to close? And I had a customer ask me that, and I said, no, not at all. This is Dante's world. He's king of his castle. But that night he brought us in to an employee meeting and told us we were going to be closing. The timing was right. There were several reasons, and this would be the best opportunity for him and his staff, you know, because he wanted to take care of everybody, give them a severance package when they left, give them notice that they were going to lose their job. And that moment, I thought, like, somebody should be filming this reaction. Everyone's jaws on the floor. And there was nobody else around, so I'd stepped up to the plate.
It's a gift to me personally, the way the close down has taken place. And it's saying to me that even though I irritate people from time to time and don't say the right thing at the right time and say the wrong thing to certain customers, the reality is that it couldn't have been a more rewarding period. The world is saying thanks for your creation.
We announced it, and for that 7 months, it was just insanity, chaos. We broke records every single month, because everybody wanted to come in and get that one last experience, you know, to be able to say goodbye. And there was a bunch of people that were coming into town that were like big names at Dante's, you know. This is the crazy waiter that stabbed himself in the hand, or this is the busser who jumped off the ship and broke one of his feet, you know. So as these people were coming in, I wanted to like grab them and pull them aside and, you know, get their thoughts and feelings. And, you know, you always have this jazz booming in the background. So it was very challenging to make it all happen, you know, while you're working. You know, because I was waiting tables 5 nights a week, the craziest business we had seen in 40 years. But afterward, just go to the bar, grab a beer, go upstairs to the office, and just put the camera on a tripod and talk to him.
Sad eyes that touched my heart. Glad eyes that told my world.
I wanted to capture a lot more of the employees, you know, and what this place meant to them, because it, as a restaurant, is just so different than so many other restaurants. And, you know, there's a bunch of us that have worked at other restaurants. Dante's burned down in 2001, and out of like 56 employees, like 51 came back, you know. So when you go somewhere else and you see the contrast of you know, a formula that does not work as well, you start to think about, like, well, if there was going to be a study on this industry, I'd want an example of something that works perfectly well. Focus on that and see why, you know? The relationship that Dante has with the staff is so unique. You know, when you have, like, the head honcho of your restaurant or any kind of business, sometimes the only interaction you have with them is when you're doing something wrong. And that is not the case with Dante's. He would, it'd be a busy Saturday night, and he would call me into the office. I'd be waiting on 30 people, and I'm sweating like crazy, run up there, and he wants to show me an article that he read about painters in Atlanta. You know, and I just don't have the time to sit and talk about that stuff, Dante. I gotta go, you know? He takes care of, there's bonus incentives. So you start to work for yourself. And I really wanted to focus on that with this film as a teaching tool of, like, how it could be done.
So this film's almost like a commentary on the service industry.
Yes.
The number of employees who have come forward and said, I was an immature dork when you hired me and you taught me to be a human being. Now, I'm not sure I did the teaching, but by gathering together people that I selected, as I humorously call at the farmer's market, this staff that has just finished the last 3 or 4 months that's held up as well as they've held up, I haven't had one complaint.
That's what Dante prides himself of the most, is his ability to pick people that see his vision, that are enthusiastic, and they stick it out for the long haul. The application process is a booklet that you have to fill out that asks all these questions on your character.
What are your feelings on things?
What you could do different in your life? Why?
How do you see yourself when you're 94?
One of them was like, list your accomplishments since you were 4 years old.
Describe the feeling you had when you first stubbed your toe. I mean, it was stuff like that. It was beyond dossier. It was ridiculous.
You're breaking records over at the Atlanta Film Festival with, you know, one of the fastest selling out shows. Sold out in 5 days, and people were hounding me on the Facebook page and just getting in touch with me about getting tickets. And they were so afraid they weren't going to be able to see the show and see Dante, because he's, of course, going to be there.
Will there be any fondue or crocodiles?
No. As a painter, I wanted everything to look amazing, you know, to my ability and with the equipment I had. And I approached it in the same way I would approach a painting, is focus on the feeling. What feeling do I want to get across? And then everything goes through that, you know, and choosing the angles. The actual place is low lit. It's a romantic, intimate setting. So it's a photographer's nightmare. It's all candlelit. So I wanted that element of that warm, yellow, flickering light. You know, so when I interviewed people, it would always be, you know, a white light on one side for key, and then a fill would be like a paper lantern, you know, something that had a soft, warm glow to it with like a flicker to mimic the feel of the actual place. It was therapeutic to just spend so much time with a place that I loved so much. But yes, it was difficult at times, and especially watching Dante, someone that you care about very much. I mean, he's been like this grandfather figure to a lot of us. We are his family. And even editing and seeing scenes of him that I took in the beginning and then compared to the end, I mean, this was a very taxing ordeal for him. And some of those moments, it was subtle because I wanted to get his thoughts and feelings, but I didn't want to push him in any way.
I like to be in the middle of things, and now I'm on the outside again. I will not sidestep that. It is difficult. I miss it. That's going to be a life's lesson that I'll be able to talk about in years to come. We all have to prepare ourselves for that last day before we die. Are we able to look back and say, I like you, about ourselves? So the restaurant, to me, is achieving everything I've wanted to achieve, because I feel very good about it. Reminds me of a quote find something you love to do, then you don't have to work a day in your life. I loved operating Dante's Down the Hatch.
It was difficult for a lot of us. And your first initial instinct is to kind of like get mad. You know, you guys are stripping our home, you know, and like picking at the bones. But Dick Sorensen, he is one of the guys that built the place. He came back to, you know, dismantle it and be in charge of, you know, removing the bar in the proper way as not to break anything, you know, for these customers that came in the auction and bought pieces of the bar, bought a room that they installed in their home, you know, and it's one of my favorite lines that he compares it to a 43-year-old dandelion that has now cast its seeds and, you know, all these pieces of Dante's are going to live on. They're not just sitting at some auction house, you know, they're in somebody's home. I think the most difficult part was filming the last night and listening to Alan Murphy sing Now That I Know What Loneliness Is. I mean, I had the camera up and it just, eyes started watering. And just hope I had him in frame, you know, because it's all came down to that moment of saying goodbye.
How can I make you know how hard it is to have to face another day? Yes, my whole world is gone. Why should I go? Now that I know what loneliness is, empty roads before me, gray skies up above, empty space where a heart once lived, a heart so warm and full of love.